On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to the Monday 9th edition of Eagle FM On the Radar. News Bulletin with me, Sean Jordan Uisep, and
Dafa Happy Juju.
We have an exciting lineup of news and developments to analyze as we wrap up the week and heading into the weekend, offering much needed rest for parents, guardians, and educators alike. Thank you for tuning into On the Radar, your trusted source for comprehensive news coverage, breaking stories, in-depth analysis, and exclusive reports. Today, we're also taking a moment to shine a light on a vital topic that often goes unspoken, men's mental health. As we step into Men's Mental Health Month, we're encouraging open conversations around emotional well-being, breaking the stigma, and urging our brothers, fathers, and sons to seek support when they need it. Remember, asking for help is a sign of strength, not weakness. Stay informed through our Eagle FM mobile app, our website, and radio frequencies, bringing you real-time updates on current affairs, politics, business, technology, health, entertainment, and more. Join the conversation and don't forget to subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp for the latest updates. You can engage with us live in the studio on 083-2888-401 throughout today's show. Stay with us. So let's get started with today's news. Tensions continue to rise at the University of Namibia's main campus in Windhoek as students protested scheduled hostel evictions set to take place on Wednesday, the 11th of June, 2025, right in the middle of the university's examination period. On Sunday, the 8th of June, students gathered at the old hostel, Olupale Square, where they were expected to engage with the university management. Despite their timely arrival, management showed up quite late, prompting the students' representative council to proceed with their planned actions. The vice president of the SRC, Leslie Libo-Shitukana, addressed the students and read out a formal petition on behalf of the student body and the representative council. The petition demanded the immediate cancellation of all evictions and stated that SRC members would not attend any meetings with university management until the notices are withdrawn. The petition also criticized the prioritization of international athletes over the academic needs of fee-paying students, many of whom rely on hostel accommodation to prepare for their final exams. Later that same day, the governor of the Kumasi region, Mr. Sam Shafishuna Nyoma, and Member of Parliament, Honorable Feni Shitwavi, visited the UNAM main campus to inspect the hostel facilities and hear directly from student leaders. They were accompanied on a guided tour of the hostels by members of the Student Representative Council and the Hostel Housing Committee, who shared concerns over the condition of the facilities and the potential academic disruption posed by the evictions. Also present was the president of the Namibia National Students Organization, NANSO, Dorothea Nangolo, and the leadership of the Swapo Party Youth League UNAM Division, who were the ones who initially contacted the governor and member of parliament. I, Sean Jordan Uisep, sat down with some of the affected students to gauge their views on the matter.
Can you tell us the psychosocial impact that this eviction notice has had on you as a student?
Don't even ask about me. Go and ask about the people who have not such a strong mental fortitude. People who are already considering going home and skipping the exams entirely. People who are considering self-harm because they have no idea what they're going to do. They're going to get kicked out. Mind you, this is some people's only way out of cycles of poverty. So imagine that is already being tampered with. Guys, UNAM is the progressive enemy. I mean, are we honestly about to go home and be chased out of the hostel because of grown men and women coming to play soccer? Imagine grown men and women coming to play soccer at UNAM. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry. But can you imagine? No, like the effects are really detrimental towards both our mental health, towards our exams. Mind you, I came to UNAM to come and study and I'm being chased out because of soccer. It's the fact that UNAM within itself doesn't have any sort of programs targeted towards students for sports, yet we are being chased out for sports-related reasons after we failed. Mind you, are we not paying until July to be here, yet we're being chased out in early June? Guys, can you please try to make it make sense over soccer and volleyball, guys, over soccer?
Come on.
Make it make sense.
It should make sense.
It's not making sense.
Cause like my chat is ne.
Okay. Speaking to this, it's been reported that the Region 5 games have been a thing since December. So the rumor is that it has been known that students would need to vacate by this time period. What do you say to that? Like, how disappointing is it to know that, like, you would, like, that this isn't, this wasn't catered for to you?
As far as it's a speculation, that's it. It's a speculation. Until why, what was stopping them from giving us some sort of written documentation to clarify that this was something that was actually going to happen? Because rumors happen all the time. There have been rumors happening and happening and happening, but how many of those didn't actually come to fruition? And this one that actually affects us to such an extensive degree is the one that actually has to go through. It just doesn't make sense to me why they had over 6 months to let us know. Imagine, you said December since last year. Imagine over 6 months to let us know that we should be ready to vacate before our exams start. Mind you, I'm being they're asking us to leave a day before my exams start. So it just doesn't make sense. And why during the exams? Like, that doesn't make sense. Wouldn't it make more sense to to have us leave maybe even during talk classes, because what's the point of going to class if I can't even write the exam? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the rooms are being renovated. The reason why you guys are being evicted is because the rooms are being renovated for the athletes. So seeing as basic maintenance has been a big issue, how does it make you feel as a student to know that, like, the basic maintenance is being done for people that don't go to the university, but for you?
Oh my God, I love that you asked that question, because it's the fact that they're doing it to uphold an image that they don't bother to actually run with when it comes to actually standing on business. Because the only reason, like you said, that they're renovating the spaces is so that when other people come into our university to come and observe, they're going to say, wow, UNAM, UNAM this, UNAM that. But then us who actually stay in UNAM know that that's not the case. Oh my word. Let me tell you about the water. The water is brown all of the time. It looks funny. I'm too afraid to taste it. This electricity that's still always tripping. Guys, mind you, the lights in our block are not working. We are moving in darkness. But now they come out and I come renovate for soccer. It's not making sense. It's not making sense. So it's the fact that they care so much to uphold an image. To uphold an image with regard to just portraying that image when it comes to other people, but then they don't actually care to, like, maintain the standard. So they just want to sell you an idea rather than actually stand on business. It's revolting. It's disgusting. Honestly, it's wrong.
What is your message to the UNAM management regarding this issue, and how can we best solve this for you as the student?
I mean, stop everything. Cut the cameras. UNAM management really needs to lock in shame, because what do you mean you're chasing us during the exams? And like I said again, how are we going to come to the classes? I mean, what's the point of coming to all of the classes, paying tuition, if we can't even write the exams?
We can't even stay there. We are not impressed at all. This is not impressive.
They thought they ate. So I don't know what they think is about to happen, but they must shut it down. Mind you, they have the whole of the exams to, like, they have the whole of the exam time to, like, I mean, the whole of the holiday time to renovate as much as they want. First semester. Why don't they even cut into, like, maybe the next semester? But guys, because that would even be a better alternative to chasing us during the exams. What is even the point anymore? You know what I mean? So my message to them is to honestly just lock in and focus in on what really matters, and be mindful of the fact that some of us are coming from kilometers away, towns away, countries away, just to come to these freaking hostels that aren't even maintained, but they want to come and maintain these hostels for soccer. Mind you, these people are going to be here for a very temporary period. And if UNAM can afford to come and renovate the hostels, which people haven't been complaining about to my discretion anyways, why don't they just utilize those funds instead to relocate the athletes to go and stay somewhere else rather than have them come and stay in our rooms? Imagine putting all of their time and effort into renovating rooms that are going to be used for a temporary time. It doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you so much. What are the psychosocial effects that this has had on your exam preparations?
Upon receiving this news, I could not study at all. I had to put all my studies on hold, which now forces me to start cramming tonight as I'm writing tomorrow evening. So it has literally affected my mental health, my emotional well-being, all of it.
And how sudden was this news? When did you get the news that you were to be evicted out on Wednesday?
This news, I only received the news Saturday morning around 9 a.m.
So it gives you about 5 to 6 days to pack everything and move up while still studying, writing exams, right?
Yes, there is time to pack. However, in that time that you're supposed to pack, you're also supposed to prepare for your next exam.
Okay, that makes sense. We've heard that most of the hostel students are people that aren't from Windhoek, who don't have any other alternative accommodations. Is this true? And what are the effects that this situation can have on these students?
Okay, this is very much true. Most students are not from Windhoek. Even though they have, some may have family members here, some households may not be conducive for students to study in. Your aunt that lives in Ochomwese, it might be too far for you to commute to come and write a paper and leave again, or the house might be too noisy or so forth.
Can you tell us about this rumor that's been going around that apparently, according to reports, this has been a thing that's been coming since December. Like they had the management had a deal with the Region 5 Games to do it already in December. Can you tell us the validity of those rumors and how that makes you feel as an affected student?
Okay. In my opinion, I feel like these are not rumors. These are honestly facts, because as stated by an article by a local newspaper, the games were moved from June to July in December. UNAM was notified in December that the games would be moved to July for them to accommodate and make the necessary arrangements for renovations to be done. Now they want to squeeze renovations in and basically accommodate other people that instead of their own students.
And also the reason why, according to management, the reason why the students have been initially moved out or are being planned to move out is because they want to renovate the rooms. Now, students are mainly complaining that the management has not kept the quality of the rooms at any standard. So now all of a sudden they're able to do that. How does that make you feel, and what can you say towards that?
Okay. Personally, I feel like management is basically telling students that you guys are not important enough. We care about outside opinions more than what we care about our internal opinions of our students. Therefore, personally, I've been living in a room where my window has not been closing for 4 years. So you're meaning to tell me that an outsider must come and stay in my room where the window is fixed just because they were there? So I'm not worthy enough to stay in a room with a window that can close.
Also, how satisfied are you with the SRC's response and the solutions that they, or like the way out that they have proposed to management?
Okay. Personally, I feel like yesterday my opinion of their resolutions was not satisfactory. However, after hearing the statements made in the petition, I am satisfied with it. We also need to understand that they are also students. There's also a limit to what they can do. Their hands are also tied and they're literally trying their best.
True. I think finally, my last question to you is, how do you think this can be resolved? And what steps need to be taken in order for you to be able to successfully write your exams?
Honestly, I feel like the best outcome right now is for management to say that we can stay, to put all renovations on hold. They can renovate for us students that have been paying for how many years, for how many months to stay in the hostel. If we can stay in these dilapidated environments, facilities of UNAM, so can the outsiders.
Okay, thank you so much. Tell us the psychosocial impact that this has had on your exam preparation.
It's been doing doing a lot of horrible things for my exam preparation. For one, I don't know whether or not I should be focusing on studying to study for my exams, or if I should just start picking away my room. Because a lot of us hostel students come to the hostel as a home away from home. So quite a lot of us have already put in the time and effort to make our rooms comfortable enough for us, so that we can at least have a safe space away from like the problems of like school and everything. So then I have to sit here and wonder, should I start putting down my poster? Should I start taking down all the stuff I've put up? Even the posters I've put up, even the pictures and stuff I've put up for like school and to study, should I start putting them down? Because like, what's the point if I'm already going to be evicted by Wednesday? And I'm at least lucky enough that I have somewhere to stay. Many of the people here are just here by themselves. They may have friends, but they don't have people who they can rely on to stay on the long term. That's already anxiety causing. Already some people suffer from great like mental disorders and stuff. Like really bad anxiety, really bad depression. So now I have to deal with anxiety and also the problem with being evicted. Not even landlords, the leeches of the world, give people a 5-day notice that they have to give, that they have to leave. This is worse than the absolute worst.
It's being reported that the management had an idea that this would be something that could happen because of reports that came out in December that they had accepted the Region 5 games to take place here. So can you tell me about how it makes you feel to know that they didn't let you know about this with a proper channel of communication?
How I feel about it, I feel particularly vexed by it, because if the rumor was true, and since we now know it is, if it was true at the time, they could have already begun preparation since December time. Already, you have to be out of UNAM by December. So then they had really no excuse to already get started on renovations in them. And if the renovations are the reason why a lot of the hostel isn't working properly, why water is being shut down almost every single day, why electricity is tripping, then we could have already accepted it because they already told us ahead of time. But now they're only telling us now, when we could have already started, you know, organizing ourselves, already started making plans. Now they're only going to tell us now. They had the whole of first semester, course semester, and the holiday of last year to get things ready. First semester, we're more than happy to just skip class just for a vibe. So then you want us exam time when we cannot skip, where we refuse to skip, especially because of first and second opportunity. Everyone knows second opportunity is harder than first opportunity. That's why most people go for first. And now you're going to only start the preparations and things now. And the fact of the matter is, I started hearing about this rumor earlier this year. And I was thinking it was a joke because I'm literally paying for almost a whole year out of pocket just to stay here. However, now they want me out of like the whole of July. Am I going to get my money back? And obviously not, because it's UNAM. So then where is that money going to go? It's not going to go into anywhere else where it's going to benefit me. It's going to just going to benefit the school. And one thing, they could have kept up maintenance throughout the entirety of like the whole of UNAM. Whenever students come, they fix up maintenance, and therefore they wouldn't have this whole problem of having to fix up things that's like a problem. Like, oh, this wall is what? Oh, this thing is what? They could have already had that fixed up when the problem came about, so that they wouldn't have to worry about it now. But now that they're having people that they think is more important than the students that pay to live here, now they want to start fixing up things.
Are you thinking of stepping away? Don't. We're just getting started, and we have yet a lot more coming your way. So stay right with us, only on Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungulelewa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kusema app ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuyakwa lifasi na lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mbasa antoye nyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, nyencha farizwe, ikopi ya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilimu, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyari zira mlimu. Zeni, zefu mani hamasfera sesifa app ya imba, zetatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omae mriro, Catholic, Smani Kakarunga, Africans, Nizeni Zenata. Mololi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The latest edition of The Villager is now out, offering in-depth coverage on key issues shaping Namibia today. Now, this edition has several pressing topics, including electrifying 206,000 households will cost $4.7 billion. Rundu water woes deepen underpopulation growth. MTC to invest nearly $1 million in employee side hustles. Nearly 800,000 pledged for Ondangwa trade and industrial exhibition. Rugby season ends on a double high for the Walvis Bay Kudus. To stay informed on social and economic developments by grabbing your copy of the e-paper for real-time updates, subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel today. Now in other news, the city of Windhoek has secured a grant of €212,750, that is approximately $4.35 million, from a German-based organization, Engagement Global, under its Nakoper Sustainable Community Development through Partnership Projects program. The funding will support the establishment of the Windhoek Solar Center, a first-of-its-kind initiative in the city, developed in collaboration with the city of Berlin. Now, modeled after Berlin's successful solar center, the facility will serve as an independent information and knowledge hub, promoting the adoption of solar energy across Windhoek. They further say that the Windhoek Solar Center will provide product-neutral consultations as well as customized training and awareness programs tailored to the specific needs of city residents, including those living in informal settlements. Now, earlier I sat down with Secretary of the Renewable Energy Industry Association of Namibia's board, Paulus Mulunga, to gain more insight into this most interesting development. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Good afternoon, Mr. Paulus Mulunga, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure is all mine. Now, the city of Windhoek has secured a grant of $4.35 million from a German-based organization. The Windhoek Solar Center will serve as an independent information and knowledge hub aimed at promoting the adoption of solar energy throughout the city. As the Secretary of the Renewable Energy Industry Association of Namibia, is this welcomed by the energy fraternity?
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity once again. Definitely, this is a very much welcomed initiative by the city with the support of the German government to have something as a solar city in Windhoek. The reason why we welcome this so much is that there's a lot of misconception when it comes to solar systems.
Mm.
So clients out there do not necessarily have the right information as to, you know, the potential of solar power here in Namibia. We always hear that, you know, Namibia has some of the greatest resources when it comes to, you know, solar energy. We have very good clear days, 300 clear Sundays in a year.
Yeah.
The radiation is very good. But clients do not really understand the potential of what you know, the sun can do for us. So having a solar city here in Windhoek, we believe is a good opportunity for, you know, clients, be it households or businesses, to get the right information as to, you know, how they can use solar power to their benefit, as there are various solar systems that cater for different needs that, you know, can really be to the benefit of the, you know, of the city of Windhoek residents. So this is an initiative that we welcome very greatly.
Indeed. Now, how can this initiative benefit the residents of the city? What specific areas should the center focus on, and how will it assist with the demand side management?
Excellent. And another good question there. So, as we know, you know, the price of electricity is always rising. It's always rising because, you know, Namibia is not generating enough electricity for our local consumption. So we're in a situation where we import a lot of our power from South Africa, Eskom, and from the region, you know, and this electricity comes at a very, very high cost.
Mm-hmm.
If you are aware, Namibia pays some of the highest tariffs in the SADC region, and it's precisely because of this fact that we import most of our power that we need here in the country. So having something like this enables, you know, the city of Windhoek residents to try and find alternatives to this expensive power that we're getting from outside of our borders. And again, you know, help them make use of this resource that we have in Namibia, the sun, you know, by getting the right information as to what solar system households within the city can install, you know, to generate their own power at their residence for their own consumption, as opposed to importing very expensive grid electricity. Businesses are also included in this, in that, you know, they can also consider solutions that cater for businesses. I mean, a business operates mostly during the day, and it is during this period when the sun is shining. So they can go to the center and get the right information as to the various solar systems and their possibilities. That can actually help them manage the expenses of their businesses very well by investing, you know, in solar systems. So having this information or this center available is a platform, a place for businesses, for households to get independent information. It doesn't necessarily come from, you know, the solution provider. This is independent information that they can trust, confirm, and verify.
Mm-hmm.
So having such a center is again a welcome initiative by the city, and it can be to the full benefit of the residents of the city.
Okay. Mr. Malungu, what specific areas do you suggest the Windhoek Solar Center focus on?
Yeah, so we have households within the city that are not connected to the grid.
Informal settlements?
So, the informal settlements, thank you very much. So, you know, the city can target those areas, the informal settlements, to try and see how, you know, residents within the informal settlements can have solar systems sized for them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they get access to, you know, to the basics of electricity. So if the city can target informal settlements as a priority, that would be a good initiative. General households within the city that are already connected to the grid that want to reduce their consumption is another target for the city, as well as businesses within the city.
Mm. Furthermore, can you say that the use of solar energy through this initiative will help reduce pressure on the existing energy grid?
Very much, very much. It will help. It will help so much. This is part of demand side management, where now, you know, households can manage their demand from the city, and if they can have a solar system installed, if a household has a solar system installed at their residence, they can manage some of their consumption, you know, right there at the premises, and reduce the pressure in terms of the requirements of electricity on the municipality grid. So,
mm-hmm.
Having such systems is very, very beneficial to households, to businesses, you know, within the city, as well as to the city, as it relieves some of the pressure on the grid, because of the reduced demand on the grid. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to those who might be skeptical about actually going solar?
the center is the perfect platform to kind of answer those questions that clients might have with regards to the possibility of solar. I mean, you, a client or an interested party, can go to the center, get all the information with regards to what the potential of solar here in Windhoek is and whether it is a right thing to invest in a solar system, for example. So they're getting the correct unbiased information from this institution that will help them in deciding whether a solar system is good for them or not. But with the sun, with the quality of the sun, with the radiation that we receive here in Namibia, going solar is always going to be beneficial. It's just a matter of understanding issues like payback period and how to calculate those, which I'm sure the center is information that the center will provide to clients that want to to visit and get more information.
Okay. And how would you say businesses that are already set up towards solar, would they benefit? How would you say they would benefit from this?
Yes. So for those businesses that already have solar systems installed, they might get additional information with regards to to maintenance, the importance of maintaining their systems so that they can get long-lasting performance from the system. So it's an issue, or it's a topic that is neglected at some point, the issue of maintenance, but it's a very, very important aspect of a solar system as well, that will ensure the lifespan, the longevity of the solar system. So information with regards to maintaining the system, how to monitor its performance, and all of that is information that those that already have solar systems can get from this center, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Paulus Mulungu, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin and sharing your information and insights with us.
Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to the center being established so that we can also pay the visit. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And with that being said, we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace, but we still have a lot more news coming your way, so stay tuned. Our studio line is also very much open. 0832888 is the number. 0832888401 is the number in studio. Come through and share opinions and contributions right here on the radar.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And welcome back. MTC, the Mobile Telecommunications Limited, has committed to invest 950,000 Namibian dollars to support the part-time business ventures of its employees through the MTC's Dreamers program, a program launched in 2021. Since its launch, the program has invested 4 million Namibian dollars in its employees' side hustles and will continue to do so. Spokesperson Erasmus Lekundi, in an interview, highlighted the importance of the programs in the lives of the employees, with him being quoted as saying, "It is important to make the ambassadors happy. They should be made to feel important to the organization," he emphasized. This year, 75 applications were submitted by employees, with 18 selected for funding. Earlier, my colleague Joseph Jeremiah sat down with the MTC spokesperson Erasmus Nikundi on this topic.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
We have heard recent stories coming out from MTC with regards to a program that was launched in 2021, which is now the Dreamers program. Could you perhaps give us some insights on that program, sir?
Yes. You see, MTC is known for its philanthropic work in the society.
Yes.
Oftentimes, you get to see stories or reports of corporate social responsibility and corporate social investment work that MTC is doing in the community. And this is because we believe that as much as it is important to for a company to for us to keep on investing in infrastructure that provide quality connectivity to the community, which is our core business, we also have a social responsibility where we have to identify social causes that we can support in order to benefit the people of Namibia, because we believe that it is because of the support that we get from the community that we are who we are today. However, we have also noticed that as much as we extend this support outside to the community, we realize that it's not enough until we also turn and extend such philanthropic gesture in-house to our very own employees, the people who make MTC. We realize that we have employees, our employees, we call them ambassadors. We have ambassadors, MTC ambassadors, who have dreams and aspirations, and they would like to pursue those dreams. But because sometimes of financial aid, because of limited financial aid, they tend not to follow those dreams. And then we thought it is right for us to come up with a Dreamers program, which is really intended to support the dreams of our own employees. We figured that a lot of ambassadors, MTC ambassadors, have brilliant business ideas. But they don't follow these ideas because they don't have financial support. They don't have the support to say, yes, we will allow you to pursue your side hustle while at the same time in the employment and delivering in the employment of MTC. So we created that program to really facilitate and assist our ambassadors to pursue their dreams. And that is what it is about, MTC Dreamers. So we have started with it in 2021.
Yes.
And has thus far supported at least 80 employees to a tune of 4 million since inception. However, latest, and this was last week, we did again award some employees, some of our ambassadors, this support through the program. Because this year we have allocated, there was the businesses allocated a total of 950,000, on the table to support the program this year. And this year we have then managed to, support at least 13 dreamers who are actively pursuing their dreams. So we then have categories to say, okay, what categories are we supporting this? So we have those that are pursuing their dreams in entrepreneurship. And there are those who are doing so through talent development. Some people have their talent, they want to nurture and pursue and make a living or an income out of their talent. And also the last category is those ones who, which is called the social cause category. So those are the categories through which we support our ambassadors. And we are happy that at least a business has agreed to continue supporting this program. It's not a thing that is ending now. It is definitely going to continue, and we make sure that those ambassadors that have dreams are supported.
So yes. Since the introduction of this program, MTC has been able to invest millions into this entrepreneur. Now, how does MTC measure the impact or success of the program on employees and their businesses?
Yeah, you see, that's a good question. It's an aspect of the program that can never be overlooked. There should always be a monitoring and evaluation aspect side of things of the program, just to make sure that the beneficiary succeeds in their endeavors of pursuing their businesses. Maybe before I touch that, I will indicate that how it happens, for instance, for one to become a beneficiary, you've got to have a business, solid business idea that you have to pitch before a competent internal committee. Once you convince and the committee is convinced that, yes, this business is viable, then you are awarded the support. And it is still the very same committee that has the responsibility of holding you accountable in terms of monitoring and evaluation. It is before this committee that every 6 months you have to give feedback, give report on how you are doing. Are you doing well? Have you encountered any challenges? If there is any challenges, how can the committee support you? Because this committee is made up of very business-minded people, people who are qualified to assist in that regard. So there is that monitoring and evaluation aspect of things where we really expect the beneficiaries 6 months, they come there, they give us report, you give us comprehensive report of how you're doing, where you are, any challenges, anything, any, we help you and identify possible solutions of how to help you because you want to succeed. And overall, through this program, we're also creating employment because these are employees who are full-time in the employment of MTC. They don't run this business by themselves. So they employ somebody to run the business. So you're creating employment. You're creating also that sustainable value for yourself as an employee and also for others. And we are very good. We are very pleased because previous beneficiaries have recorded very good results and they've created employment out there. We have those that have created maybe up to 8 employees and whatnot. And these are the outcomes that motivate the leadership to continue supporting this program because we see there is results and it's good results. We are creating, we are not just supporting the aspiration and dream of our own employees, but through that, we are also creating indirectly employment for the others. And that's a good thing. And like I said, monitoring and evaluation is definitely there. One is expected to give report, give feedback on the progress, and also when they need assistance, the committee that is in place provide that assistance. Yeah.
So the first step of this program is you being nominated to receive this funding. So and we see there's a 3-day training, I think, there. So after the 3-day training, as you begin with your business, is there somewhat some ongoing mentorship, or does it stop after the 3-day there?
You are not nominated. An open call is made internally to all employees, to all MTC ambassadors, to say a window of application in the Dreamers program is open. Whoever has ideas, business idea, entrepreneurship, or talent development, anything, you submit your application. You submit your expression of interest. When your application is received, you obviously all applications, because this year we receive over I think 75 applications.
Yes, yes.
And of those 75, 13 were successful. So those applications are then reviewed, and then you then call or conduct sort of like an interview. You have to pitch. You come before the committee, you pitch your business idea, you motivate your idea and convince the committee that your idea, your business idea is viable. Once the committee see, yes, this is a viable business idea, we then award those that are successful. And of course, once you are given the aid, like I've indicated, there is also now that 3 days entrepreneurship or entrepreneur training that you get. And that is an injection and a motivation and a direct we are setting you also ongoing. Make sure that you keep on. Because at the end of the day, this is your dream, is your business. At the end of the day, the responsibility lies on you to make sure that your dream does not die but becomes a reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So we set you up, we give you the funds, we give you the training, and if you feel like that training perhaps was not sufficient for you to keep the business running successfully, mm-hmm. it is also up on you to inject or invest your own money into your self-development, self-business training, so that you will plow those skills back into your business.
Mm.
And that is the encouragement that we give our people. We start you, we give you that boost, and that boost should serve as a motivation, as an inspiration for you to continue successfully running your business. And we always advise our ambassadors that it is key that you continue upgrading your skills so that you are able to successfully run your business and your dream become a reality.
Mm.
Yes.
So, Mr. Erasmus, I saw you spoke about it.
And with that, we take a trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakare liferide, nise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zarivuka kuya kwa lifasi na lifera fama kepe. Mvone maikuto amancha a inga app, mwikutwe kulibusi ya mbasa antoye nguyetuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba yencha, miencha farizwe, ikopi ya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilimu, kukopanya naha, mkuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zeni, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba, kize tatama, elsi, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, Smani Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengu Zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufuma na imba kachenu, mkona kufuma na fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle at them.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And welcome back. And now for your economic indicators. Up first, we have your currency gainers, with your top currency gainers being the New Zealand's dollar at 0.72%, Norwegian krone at 0.56%, Australian dollar at 0.56%, British pound at 0.35%, the euro at 0.28%, and the Japanese yen at 0.51%. The biggest losers are the Brazilian real at minus 0.28% and the dollar index at minus 0.23%. Up next, with agricultural commodities, its top earners are the oats, led by oats at 0.54%, while the top commodity losers are rubber at minus 0.75% and canola at 0.65%. Up next, we have metal commodities, with its top gainers being platinum at 3.44%, silver at 0.93%, copper at 0.58%, and gold at 0.36%. Up next, we have energy commodities, with its top losers being natural gas EU Dutch TTF at minus 1.10%, natural gas at minus 1.05%, natural gas UK GPD at minus 0.87%, crude oil WTI at minus 0.25%, and Brent crude oil at minus 0.24%. Now, speaking on foreign exchanges, once again, the top currency gainers are Australian dollar at 0.41%, New Zealand dollar at 0.38%, Japanese yen at 0.34%, the British pound at 0.21% and the euro at 0.20%, whereas the biggest losers were the dollar index at 0.21%. Japan's 10-year government bond yielded an upward rise after an upward GDP revision. Japan's 10-year government bond yielded a climb of above 1.47 on Monday, rebounding from a 3-week loss after reviewing data showing that the economy was flat in the first quarter, an improvement from the previously reported 0.2% contraction. While the revision was positive, it still marked a notable slowdown from the 0.6% growth seen in the final quarter of 2024. In other news, the U.S. 10-year yield holds advance. The yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury note held steady around 4.5% on Monday, maintaining its recent advance as investors geared up for a week filled with high-impact economic data and trade developments. Market focus remains on renewed U.S.-China trade negotiations, with President Donald Trump announcing that officials from both nations will meet in London later on today. On the economic front, attention is turning to key inflation readings, with the CPI due Wednesday and the PPI set for release on Friday. These reports could offer further insight into the impact of tariffs on inflation and broader economic conditions. Now, with the U.S.-China trade talks to resume in London today, senior officials from the U.S. and China are set to again begin a new round of talks in London, signaling an easing to trade tensions. Treasury Secretary Bessent will lead the U.S. delegation, while Vice Premier He Lifeng represents China. The discussions follow a call between Trump and Xi Jinping, which Trump called a very good talk. Last month, both nations agreed to a trade deal, reducing tariffs after a prolonged dispute, though each has accused the other of reneging on commitments. A key issue will be China's rare earth exports. While Trump claims China agreed to resume, "We want the rare earths, the magnets, to flow just like they did before April," said Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council. China recently approved some rare earth export applications, though details remain unclear. The tariff pauses expire in July, with Trump warning that tariffs could return at 145% without a deal. Talks may also cover U.S. curbs on Huawei and Chinese students studying in the U.S. And with that, we take a trip to the marketplace.
Mukungu lewa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Uvere kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakare, riferide. Nise Kunani, Zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa ifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikute kulibusie mba santo ye nyetuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, niencha falizwe ikopnye nifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilimu, kukopanya naha, nikuhasa nyari njira mlimu. Zeni, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa ep ya imba, ze tatama. Elsi, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Simani Kakarunga, Africans, Nizenu Zenata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si eke zuefa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kuifumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
And we are back and we are joined in studio by Simon Namesho, who is the spokesperson of the University of Namibia. Good afternoon, Simon. Pleasure to have you on the Reading News Bulletin.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your listeners.
Mm. Now, Simon, we understand that we covered a story in regards to the University of Namibia's students who have actually been, who have protested and actually dissatisfied with the eviction set to take place, hostile eviction set to take place on Wednesday, the 11th of June, 2025. Can you kindly give us a background of why the students are being evicted in the first place?
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, we wish to clarify that the University of Namibia is not evicting students from residences. The temporary relocation of 38 out of 1,525 hostel residents is necessary to facilitate urgent renovation and to accommodate over 2,200 athletes and officials as UNAMO serve as the Games Village for the Africa Union Council Region 5 Youth Games from the 4th to the 13th July 2025.
Mm-hmm. Simon, while you're still there, the figure that you gave earlier, the temporary release of how many?
38 students out of 1,525 students, yes.
Okay.
So those are the only ones that are going to be relocated from their current rooms, because those rooms, they require some severe renovation just to put them up to standard to host our guests that come from the games or during the games, as UNAM is then serving as a games village.
Mm. Okay. And were students informed prior to this month to say that this 38 students, that they are going to need to evacuate this their rooms to make room for those that are coming in?
Yes, the university has always been muted to the students that the university will be serving as a games village, and to the extent where and how, that was not yet clear up to the last week Friday when we had our condition of the university was then met by the organizing committee of the Region 5 Youth Games. So then thereafter, that's when then the university actively started to engage with the student leaders as well as the DSA office to make sure that to go around to check how many rooms are then that needs that severe renovation, mm-hmm. and how many students are likely to be affected, and how many international students specifically are also affected by this. And then when the assessment was done, it was concluded yesterday, Sunday, the 8th of June, we found that it was only 38 rooms out of 1,525 rooms that need that service. And then those students now are then being in contact with directly since yesterday or last night, especially this morning, to engage with them to say this is the following what's happening. This is the alternative that the university is putting in place for you specifically.
Mm. So what alternatives are being set in place for those students?
Okay, those 38 students that are then affected by this relocation will then be put into other rooms within the UNAM accommodation system, and if there are not enough rooms in the system of the UNAM accommodation, they will then be given accommodation on the external from the UNAM accommodation system, which is outside, whether it's in one of the nearest accommodation facilities close to the university, or any of those accommodation facilities that the university would take on, whether it's a guest house or whether it's an Airbnb, etc. So which is close to the university in space or circumferences. And those ones are going to be taken up. And then apart from that, the university will then provide transport to those students to shuttle them to and from campus when they need to study and as well as when they have to come and write their exams. And then as well as the university will also cater for their Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi at those venues to make sure that those students have full Wi-Fi all the time. And then also to add to that is that should the students have then heavy luggage, which they have within their rooms currently, the university will take on the storage facility where they can then safely store their belongings during this period, which they are being asked to transition from the UNAM hostels to an alternative hostel facility. Maybe lastly, I can also share to say that an important aspect is safety.
Mm-hmm.
If the students, where they go, if there's not enough safety measure that meets the university standards, the university will then contract a security a company to make sure that those students are given that safety, security and comfort and easiness on their mind as they stay at those alternatives. But that is only in case they go beyond accommodation system.
Okay. Simon, can you address some of the misinformation that has been going around and just rectify them?
Yes. I think one of the major ones is to say that the university is evicting all its 1,525 students at the main campus as well as at Komastar campus.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that is not correct. We are not doing that. There's no eviction at all of UNAM students. UNAM students have begun exams last week on the 2nd of June as well as today on the 9th of June, depending if you're doing all curriculum or new curriculum. So our students are focused exams. And that's to us, it's a big priority. There's no way we will make a decision that is contrary to that. And then the other aspect was that university students will be evicted effective on the 11th of June 2025. Again, that to us is absolutely not correct. It doesn't exist in our conversation. There is nothing like that. It's a conversation process, and there is an identified group of students who are 38 so far, and those are the only students that we'll be having a direct conversation with, and then we'll be asked to relocate. Why? It's because in the rooms that they are in, those rooms require a severe renovation compared to the other rooms that we have to make sure that it meets a hospitable standard to host our guests during the Games Village.
Okay. Simon Amisha, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin and just coming to clarify that. And we just sure hope that students have been reassured now of the developments and that they can be at ease and focus on their examination. And also thank you for clearing it out that it's not the whole 1,500 something students, but it's 38 students.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. And it's indeed the case that it is a priority for us that the students, only those ones that are affected, are relocated, and it's not at all an eviction of 1,500 students.
Okay. And lastly, it wouldn't be justice on my part if I don't ask this question. In terms of renovating, is that the hostels are being renovated to accommodate the five regional games athletes, or and was not renovated for the students? Just kind of address that as well.
Hello?
Yes, Simon.
Yeah, so during the mid-year break, all the students who are in the hostels do vacate the hostels so that they can allow a minimal renovation to happen to those rooms. But now, since we are doing this, then there is a level of standard that the organizing committee wants to meet and wants to keep. And then we then put it back to them to say, okay, this is the level of renovation that we normally do during this time of the year. If you want to up that renovation standard, more than welcome. We can do so. Then when you look at the matrix plan of when these games are going to start, there's only so much time that you have left to do it.
Okay. Simon?
Those 38. The other rooms will then also benefit from a renovation, but those ones will not be a severe one that will require you to move out of your room. For example, if it's to replace a doorknob or to replace a cracked window, or is to fill anything in the wall. So those ones would require a minor renovation compared to other ones that require a bit more intense renovation.
Mm. I get that. Now, I know that the University of Namibia normally sees students who are in the hostel when exams time is over and it's holiday time or recess time. Students should pack out and go stay somewhere else. Is this something that perhaps the university is looking into, because it's been a norm for so many years now that maybe even during holidays, students can actually be allowed to stay in the hostels and just resume when the next semester starts?
That's also correct, yes. During the recess or when the semester ends, the students are then given option to go for the prorata. You apply to say, I want to stay in the hostel on your prorata rate, on a daily rate that is.
I think I lost you there, Simon.
Of students.
On a daily rate of how much?
That rate, I don't have it here with me right now.
Okay.
But it usually it's under $50 per day. I think the last time I checked it was $42 million per day. So they will then pay that rate per day to stay in the UNAM hostel during the recess. Even now, not specifically in the main campus or Komata campus hostel, they will then be asked to rather go to other UNAM campuses in Windhoek, which is either at Hagiginkop campus or at Noidam campus, should then be space definitely, because usually the hostels are completely vacant. For example, our international students will then be asked to say, yes, you can still stay, but perhaps not at the main campus this time in 2025. You'll be asked to stay at the Hagiginkop campus or at the Noidam campus during that time, but you are still within the UNAM accommodation system.
I see. Simon, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
And there you had it from Simon Namisho. He's the spokesperson of the University of Namibia and sharing clarity and response also to the story we covered earlier in regards to the University of Namibia students, some of the students who did a protest against hostel evictions allegedly set to take place on Wednesday, 11th June 2025. So I sure hope that you have been following and he has set clarity on some of the things that he has said right there. So at least you've gotten two sides of the story, and that's what we do here in Eagle FM. We give you two sides of the story, and so that both parties are heard. With that being said, let's post here, take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Uvele kisema ep ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa ifasi na lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha aimba ep, mwikutwe kulibusi ya mbasa antoye mietuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilimu kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali ziramu limu zeni zefu mani hamasifera sesifari app ya Imba ize tata ma Elsie Ehangano Oshiherero Omaimuriro Catholic Simanika Karunga Africans Nize Nize Nata Mololi zeze kacheno haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina si ekezwe fa mkoloko wa lifera za Imba fa 081-2358-063 kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com Muzive ni kufumana Imba kacheno mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. So we're starting off regionally, then we move to continental news. Thereafter, we're bringing you the international news. And of course, we're starting off in South Africa. We're talking about extreme weather, where three people have been killed during a blaze in Gauteng.
Now, the city of Johannesburg's emergency management services says three people have been killed in a blaze in Gauteng. The trio, we understand, was trying to keep warm as a cold snap takes a hold across the country. The South African Weather Service has forecast a cold front moving in from the west, with localized snowfall expected in some areas early this week. EMS spokesperson Nana Khiba is again urging residents to use heating devices safely.
The cold weekend had started already, and over the weekend we have responded to a few fire incidents, but three lives were lost during the two other fire incidents that we've responded to. So indeed we are on high alert and would like to urge people to be very careful as the weather continues to be cold during this week. We have received alerts of snowfall in parts of Gauteng, and we are anticipating very cold weather, even if there's no snowfall around the city of Johannesburg and any other areas. But if it becomes very cold, we know that people will resort to different heating devices, which then say that there are a number of fire hazards that we'd have to deal with.
Meanwhile, the city of Johannesburg says its disaster management teams are on standby to respond to any life-threatening emergencies amid the low temperatures in the coming days.
Still on extreme weather, Gauteng residents lament the inclement weather.
Gauteng emergency services teams remaining on high alert with the first winter cold front moving over parts of the country, where the forecasters see this as a preview, if you like, of what to expect for the rest of the season. Let's get you a sense of how ordinary South Africans are managing or not. Bring in SABC News reporter Calvin Dlulta, who's live to us now from Slova Park in Johannesburg. And Calvin, it's always difficult, especially for people who don't have much, to get through this period.
Good morning to you, Ayanda, and to our SABC viewers at home. We're here at Slovo Park here on the East Rand. Earlier when we arrived here with my colleague, our video journalist, Kwazi Manzi, we spoke to a resident who told us that it's very cold here. At that time, it was raining, and he told us that he will make sure that they don't become negligent. They adhere to the emergency services rules, telling us that he has a coal stove. When I asked him about that coal stove, he told me, Ayanda, that he doesn't switch it off when he sleeps because it's very cold. But I told him that it's very cold and he needs to make sure that he switches off because that is dangerous. So now we have moved to Slovo Park, a taxi rank where we are engaging with the taxi drivers mostly. But let me just introduce them. Baba, asikubingelele, sikwamukele endabeni zosuku. Sithemba sixoxa la wangitshela ukuthi ushayela itekisi. Amakhaza niyawezwa la, kuyabanda manje.
Hayi, kabuhlungu-ke man, kubanda over.
Abashayeli nibaphatha kanjani-ke abagibeli? Nibaphatha kanjani njengoba kubanda? Abanye banokukhala bethi amatekisi ayabanda, amanye awanamahwindo, amanye ubona ngisho ubona phandle uhleli ngaphakathi. Iy'moto zenza njani? Nizosebenza kanjani njengoba kuthiwa kuzobanda kakhulu, kakhulukazi kusasa?
Esha, so far sibaphethe kahle, nanoma iy'moto zingafani. Khona ezinamahitha, khona ezinganamahitha. But then wonke umuntu uzimisele ukuthi asheshe ayenze into e-right, baya kumahitha ukuthi wonke amapassenger afudumale.
Okay, sibonga kakhulu. Baba, asibonge kakhulu umphathi wala iRinkeni, sibonga kakhulu ngesikhathi sakho. Kuzobe kubanda kusukela namhlanje ntambama ukuze kube kusasa izangoma zezulu ziqagula ukuthi kube kubanda kakhulu kakhulukazi kusasa. Umsebenzi business lijwayele ukuhamba kanjani ngenxa yamakhaza mangabe kubanda kakhulu ngiyena wathola ama passenger.
Greetings South Africa, greetings to you my brother. Actually when it's cold like this, people, they like to play it safe because they keep themselves in the comfort of their homes. As a matter of fact, you can see in this taxi rank, there are at least few people. But for them, you can see one of our car is already kind idling so that when the customers come in, they can find the car a bit warm. So it's a two-way street. Some, they come because they have to go to work, but others,
How do you keep yourselves warm as taxi drivers now?
Okay, it's easy. We have our kitchen there. We have our mothers here who keep us warm. As a matter of fact, we have our coffee, so we are well taken care of.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much. You. Mama, let me just introduce you. Sanibona siyanibingelela la ematexini. Sibonga kakhulu ngesikhathi senu. Ngiyabona nawe uphethe inkomishi kodwa lakhe ti ngathi seliphelile nenjani. Ngiyabona ugqokile ufudumela amakhaza anjani.
Yes, kuyabanda kakhulu, kuyabanda, siphuza amatiye the whole day. Sina nama heaters.
Eni basa, drinking tea here, so I have also invited.
Moving on with other news, we're going to Zimbabwe, where Zimbabwe is set to call 50 elephants and distribute meat to locals.
There are simply too many of them. Zimbabwe is home to the second largest population of elephants in the world. But they exceed the capacities of the land and of natural reserves. It is why Zimbabwe announced earlier this month that it has made the decision to cull 50 elephants at Sevi Valley Conservancy, where the elephant population is putting a strain on natural resources. The animals' meat will then be distributed to the local population near the reserve. Zimbabwe previously tried to tackle the problem by relocating several hundred animals to other parks or by using GPS tracking schemes to monitor the elephant population. In 2024, Zimbabwe already culled 200 elephants when a drought struck the country and led to food shortages. This year, the number of elephants to be culled remains at 50, for now.
Rwanda withdraws from regional bloc over spat with DRC Congo.
Rwanda has announced it is pulling out of the Economic Community of Central African States. The move underscores diplomatic tensions in the region over an offensive this year by M23 rebels in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Kigali had expected to assume the chairmanship of the 11-member bloc at a meeting on Saturday in Equatorial Guinea. Instead, the bloc kept Equatorial Guinea in the role, which Rwanda's foreign ministry denounced as a violation of its rights. Rwanda also condemned what it called the DRC's instrumentalization of the bloc. The DRC has long accused Rwanda of backing the M23, although Rwanda has denied any involvement. The office of Congolese President Felix Tshisekedi said in a statement that ECCAS members had acknowledged the aggression against the DRC by Rwanda and ordered the aggressor country to withdraw its troops from Congolese soil. It wasn't clear if Rwanda's exit from the bloc would take immediate effect.
Lagos bans single-use plastics amid mounting waste crisis.
Once every month, these young environmental volunteers gather at the shoreline of the Atlantic Ocean in Lagos to pick up plastic waste for recycling. And the amount of plastic waste they usually pick up from just the shoreline around this area is often much. It's a clear indication of the magnitude of the city's plastic waste challenge. But they believe that with increased recycling, the problem can be solved in the long run. And gradually, they're making some small progress.
Our greatest achievement is basically onboarding 4,000 young women and youth in Etiosa and Ibejuleki. Now, these women and these young people have never known anything about recycling. Because of the Reswaye project, we've been able to teach them about recycling, and now they're able to build sustainable wealth through recycling in their communities.
Lagos generates close to 900,000 tons of plastic waste annually. The city's massive population of over 20 million and its inadequate waste management infrastructure only worsens the problem. While authorities are supporting recycling initiatives, they've decided to take additional measures. Impose a ban on single-use plastics, effective from next month.
We as a state are committed to ending the scourge of plastic waste in our state. There is no going back on this commitment. The July 1 deadline for the commencement on the enforcement of ban on single-use plastics after the 18-month moratorium to producers, distributors, and users. We are also stepping up our advocacy to our citizenry to be well aware of the ban. It may be painful, but it's about the only way we can go now.
The ban is a follow-up to an earlier ban on the use of styrofoam food packs and polystyrene cups. Plastic recyclers like Philip Obuesi says the ban is already beginning to have some impact in the city.
I know some flashpoints around my immediate locality where you see piles upon piles upon piles of styrofoams and single-use plastics blocking the drainages and things like that. Today, I think by reason of this ban, these flashpoints are now becoming a little bit clearer and more, looking more decent.
But with authorities exempting water sachets and PET bottles from the ban, it will certainly take some time to resolve the city's plastic waste challenge. The good thing, though, is that the culture of plastic recycling is growing in the city. These recyclers are helping to tackle the city's plastic waste challenge.
We are vast in recyclable waste recovery, helping to divert waste materials from our water bodies, our gutters, our canals, and our oceans. So we ensure that instead of waste ending up in undesignated places, we help to divert them away from such places like gutters and canals and bring them into our materials recovery facility for the purposes of recycling.
Efforts by the authorities and private recyclers to rid the city of plastic waste are gradually yielding results. But the city's battle against plastic pollution is likely going to be a long-drawn one, but it's one the authorities say they are determined to win. Deji Barimosi, CGTN, Lagos, Nigeria.
The Republic of Chad has suspended visas for U.S. citizens over travel ban from the U.S.
Chad's president instructed his government to stop issuing visas to U.S. citizens a day after the U.S. travel ban was announced. Many have welcomed Debbie's response.
They took an action, we took an action too. If it's a decree to say that we are closing the door on the Americans, that's what reciprocity is. A decree from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and if it had gone through the U.S. Congress, it would have had to. But Trump's headlong decisions deserve the same response. We don't play with our pride. We are Chadians. We'll have things to reproach our rulers for, that's obvious. But on this particular point, I agree 120%.
But others are shocked by the decision, calling it a knee-jerk reaction.
I think the Chadian government made a hasty decision. Another country, one of the 12, expressed its astonishment and thought that perhaps a delegation should first be sent to meet the American authorities and discuss the matter with them. Perhaps we can overcome the misunderstandings and find a solution.
Other African countries on the travel ban list are Republic of the Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Libya, Somalia, and Sudan. Some countries like Somalia reacted by pledging to work with the U.S. to address concerns. Sierra Leone, which is on a list of countries with heightened restrictions, said it was willing to cooperate with the U.S. to address visa overstay issues.
Perhaps we still need to use diplomacy to bring the two countries back together, because Chad also exports gum arabite, Chad exports oil, and so on. So it's likely to have an impact on the economy, it's likely to have an impact on politics. So we have to try to find a way out that will be of interest to everyone. So I believe that I'm appealing to the two states to find the best way to come back to the negotiating table and find a solution.
The U.S. travel ban will take effect on Monday, 9th June. However, according to the order, visas issued before that date will not be revoked. Crystal Onkel, CGTN.
You're still tuned into On the Reader News Bulletin, and we are covering news beyond the borders. Of course, we start off regionally, then we move on to continental news, and now we're bringing you international news. Now, in international news, experts see a slowdown in the U.S., but no recession.
U.S. job market shows signs of resilience in the face of continuing trade uncertainty. Well, last week's non-farm payrolls data narrowly beat estimates, with 139,000 jobs added in May. This week, the focus in the U.S. will be on inflation when we get the latest CPI data. And next week, all eyes will be on the Fed and how they interpret all this data when policymakers make their interest rate decision. Well, James Smith is developed market economist at ING. James, let's start with the labour market. I said it's showing signs of resilience in my introduction, but do you believe it will continue to be resilient in light of some of the headwinds the US economy is facing?
I think resilient, yes, but nevertheless, this is a challenging environment. We know the uncertainty is still really high. I mean, I think the fact that we had that climb down in tariffs with China came just in time back in May to avoid a much larger fallout in the US jobs market. But nevertheless, if you listen to the anecdotes that the Fed collects in its beige book, hiring is softening. Firms are sort of not making these big decisions on expanding and so on. So I think for the rest of the year, the hope is, yes, the bottom's not going to fall out of the US jobs market, but nevertheless, this sort of hiring, this cool down in hiring that we're seeing at the moment should continue.
And this week we get the latest CPI data out of the US as well. What are you expecting there?
Well, it might be a bit softer, actually, than expected. It's kind of interesting. We've had a couple of months now where core inflation has been relatively benign, despite this sort of big rise in tariffs. You would have thought this might have triggered a more rapid increase in prices than we've seen so far. I think that will come. I think we will see more pressure on goods prices over the next few months. But it's worth remembering that services are actually a much bigger portion of the US core inflation basket. About three quarters of the weight of that basket comes from services, and that side is looking much more benign. If you think of rental growth, that's been a key driver of US inflation. That's going to cool off over the next few months. And there's other things as well. Airfares have been consistently falling over the last few months as like tourism demand falls back. So that's a big counterweight to the tariffs. We expect to see that to continue this week, but also over the coming months as well.
So how does this all add up for the Fed next week? Markets aren't expecting a change. If they're right, when can we expect a cut?
Yeah, I think markets are sort of toying with the idea of the first rate cut to come in September. It could come later than that, to be honest. We know the Fed is very preoccupied with inflation right now. Some of the Fed speakers are saying if inflation goes to 3.5-4%, something changes in sort of inflation mindset among companies. And I think central bankers in general are very worried about going back to a period where we were 2 or 3 years ago, where inflation was much higher than expected. But I think as the year goes on, you know, as we were just discussing, I think service sector inflation becomes more benign. Those concerns about inflation tail off a bit at the Fed. At the same time, you know, I think concerns about the activity data will build. As I say, I think, you know, all those calls for US recessions we saw a couple of months ago has faded back. But nevertheless, we're expecting a big slowdown. Those two things combined together means, yeah, September or perhaps more likely December for the first cut.
You said you're expecting a slowdown, but no recession. Why is that?
Well, I think the main word is uncertainty. That's going to hit investment. It is going to hit hiring. You know, as I say, that jobs growth we've been used to be seeing is not going to be that high over the next few months. Consumer spending clearly is going to be squeezed by tariffs as well. I think it's just to say that over the last couple of years, where we've got used to that consistent 3% annual growth in the US, you know, that's just not going to continue in the current environment.
Now, we know that Chinese and US trade representatives are meeting in London this week. Obviously, tariffs are having an impact already. And we saw today in China, exports slowed in May. Where do you see this going? Who needs a trade deal more, the US or China?
Well, I think the answer is probably both. I mean, it was interesting, those Chinese export data that we saw. China's exports to the US slow a lot more than expected in May, despite that climb down in tariffs. And I think that is really just probably more reflective of the fact that front loading, you know, we saw a lot of trade coming into the US ahead of the tariffs. That sort of effect is petered out a bit now. But I think the trade flows will continue. I think at the current rate of tariffs, 30%, you know, most trade is still kind of viable, if more expensive. So we would expect those trade flows to resume or recover, that export growth to recover over the next few months. I suppose the question more broadly on tariffs is what happens next? Yes, we've got these talks. I think most people probably don't think that tariff level can come down much further. The real question now is, does it go back up again, particularly as we approach that August deadline?
That was James Smith from ING. And don't forget, you can watch more videos on Reuters.com.
And with that being said, we have officially come to the conclusion of today's episode of On The Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Onko Nanadhingi program brought to you by Patema Shala and Bernadette Simon, as well as David Shombe. Also, the Home Run Show from 16:30 comes your way. That is hosted by Dwight and Helmut. Now from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. And from Sean as well, Sean Jordan Wisab, it's goodbye. We'll see you again tomorrow for another episode on the Reader News Bulletin. Bye-bye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Mukungu lewa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavucha aziva. Mvele kisema ep ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakare riferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba rifera zalivuka kuya kwa ifasi la rifera fama kepe. Mvone maikuto amancha ainda ep, mikutwe kulibusi ya mbasa antoye nyetuna. Mikuole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopi ya mifuta ya rifera matasa ep ilimu kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali zira mlimu. Zeni zefu mani hamasifera sesifa ep ya imba zeta tama elsi ehangano oshiherero omaemriro Catholic simani kakarunga Africans ni zeni zengata. Mololi zeze kachenu, haiba mtavira kulisifera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-235-8063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digitalitomalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.